Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
WPHT HD WOGL HD3 Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of non-stop talk with Rich Zeoli.
The irrational exuberance of Kamala Harris. That's right. Kamala Mentum hitting roadblocks. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. Excuse me. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. And J.D. Vance's wife responds to the childless cat lady's comments. We have 30 minutes of nonstop talk for you. Brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. New Jersey's full-service resort, conference center, and top beach destination wedding venue. Now, please mark your calendar. We will be there in 1 month from tomorrow, which is, a month from Friday, technically, but September 6th. So Friday, September 6th, we'll be there for our next live show. All right? So mark your calendars today and join us for that, 3 to 7 p.m. at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I want to play for you Usha Vance. Now, the question of J.D. Vance's comments about single women and blah, 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 and this blowback over this and everything else. This is what his wife said with Ainsley Earhart. She was asked the question today. She sat down with him, did a long interview with this. And let's start there. Cut 17.
Comments that are out there that I have to ask you about. In 2021, J.D. said, we are effectively run by a bunch of childless cat ladies, mm-hmm. taking aim at government leaders who don't have children. What was your reaction?
Well, I mean, I took a moment to look and actually see what he had said and try to understand what the context was and all that, which is something that I really wish people would do a little bit more often. And the reality is he made a quip in service of making a point that he wanted to make that was substantive and it had actual meaning. And I just wish sometimes that people would talk about those things and that we would spend a lot less time just sort of going through this three-word phrase or that three-word phrase, because what he was really saying is that it can be really hard to be a parent in this country. And sometimes our policies are designed in a way that make it even harder. And we should be asking ourselves, why is that true? What is it about our leadership and the way that they think about the world that makes it so hard sometimes for parents? And that's the conversation that I really think that we should have. And I understand why he was saying that.
What do you say to the women who were offended or were hurt by that?
Well, I think I would say, first of all, that JD absolutely at the time and today would never, ever, ever want to say something to hurt someone who was trying to have a family who really, you know, was struggling with that. And he made that clear at the time. And he's made that clear today. And we have lots of friends who have been in that position. It is challenging and never, ever anything that anyone would want to mock or make fun of. And I also understand there are a lot of other reasons why people may choose not to have families. And many of those reasons are very good. I think what I would say is, let's try to look at the real conversation that he's trying to have and engage with it and understand for those of us who do have families, for the many of us who want to have families and for whom it's really hard, what can we do to make it better? What can we do to make it easier to live in 2024?
I think she's a very good spokesperson. I think she's probably the secret weapon. And if I were them, I would use Usha Vance as much as possible to go out there and speak on these issues. I really would. And she does a great job. I mean, really, truly an asset to the campaign. No question about it. No question. Excellent. That was an excellent answer. And, you know, I mean, look, I think this is, again, a stupid, overblown thing. I don't really think it's going to be as consequential as people think it is, but I've heard nothing but this. All last week it was two doom and gloom things. JD Vance's comments about childless cat ladies and Kamala's momentum and the election's over and Trump's going to lose and it's over and that's the end of it and you know there's no way and I'm, first of all it's August. That's number one. Secondly, we live in a very, very ever-changing, very quick news cycle. But Kamala Harris has said a lot of worse things out there than J.D. Vance's childless cat lady comment. All that comes out over time, as it will, as it's already been coming out and keeps coming out. And it leads us to a place where people turn around and go, "Oof, I don't really know about her policy positions. I really don't know about this." But I would just say this, use Usha Vance as much as possible. I really would use that because she's excellent. here is a Georgia activist, a black Georgia activist who became the center of the rally for former President Donald Trump on Saturday. She rallied the crowd. Now, you remember this woman. This was the Chick-fil-A. This was a really cool thing. Trump met her at a campaign stop in Georgia at a Chick-fil-A, called her so smart, so sharp at the time. And in one portion of her speech, she ripped into Vice President Kamala Harris for harming the black community and black families. So let's take a listen to that. I'd say this is another great spokesperson to have out there. No doubt about that. Cut number 10.
I'm getting your feelings about things that have been said, but I want you guys to pay attention to what has been done. They don't want to talk policy. They just want to use propaganda to steal your vote. The left is trying to tout this woman as a savior for the black community, but all she's done is hurt the black community since she came into the game. See, the first step in destroying the black community is to dismantle the black family. So aside from her record as a prosecutor, why don't we ask Mrs. Willie Brown if Kamala Harris cares about black families? Mrs. Willie Brown, a black woman, is also with her. A few days ago, President Trump said he didn't know Vice President Harris was a black woman. I'm trying to figure out what all the outrage is about because she's only black when it's time to get elected. Did I lie? The same black people who are mad at Trump for being confused about her race, ethnicity, nationality, whatever, are seemingly forgetting that while you're touting her as a savior for black people, she identifies as an Asian woman. She chose her side and it wasn't ours. When asked if she would ever do anything specifically for black people, she said no. Whereas Trump gave us the Platinum Plan, which specifically uplifted the black community by increasing capital by almost $500 billion, creating 500,000 new black businesses, and would give black churches the ability to fight for federal resources for their communities.
Now, let's contrast that with the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, who's not black. He's also not a journalist. But he was on there with Byron Donalds, who is black, and starts lecturing Byron Donalds about Kamala Harris and the race issue. Now, the real question here, of course, and I've had several people come up to me and say, let's stick to policies and let's not debate this and let's not talk about this. But I'll tell you where I'm going with this in just a second. But this is from Sunday, the chief Washington anchor, the unbiased journalist, George Stephanopoulos, no relation, the former Democrat strategist, George Stephanopoulos, who, ironically enough, was killed when a bat flew into his house at his vacation in North Carolina, ripped open his neck, and he died right there on the spot. That was a terrible, terrible, tragic, tragic day. He did not become immortal. Or maybe he did. And has just transformed into an unbiased journalist. How, you know, like they transform into vampires? He transformed from a Democrat operative into an unbiased journalist. That was one hell of a bat, am I right? Instead of a vampiric bat, it was a journalistic bat. Bites your neck and you become a journalist. Just like that. Amazing. All right, take a listen.
And you just repeated the slur again. If it doesn't matter, why do you all keep questioning her identity? She's always identified as a black woman. She is biracial. She has a Jamaican father and Indian mother. She's always identified as both. Why are you questioning that?
Well, George, first of all, this is something that's actually a conversation throughout social media right now. There are a lot of people who are trying to figure this out. But again, that's a side issue, not the main issue. The main issue.
Sir, one second. You just did it. You just did it again.
President of the United States.
Why do you insist on questioning her racial identity?
You want me to talk?
I want you to answer my question.
George, now that you're done yelling at me, let me answer. He talked about it on the stage yesterday in Atlanta for, what, 2 minutes? He spent more than 35, 40 minutes going after her record, talking about how radical of a senator that she was. She was the most liberal senator in the United States, in the United States Senate. That is a fact. He talked about the job that she did as vice president of the United States, a job, I will add, which has been a failure for the American people. I know you guys like to glom on to this that he talks about in jest or in a serious manner for about a minute or so. But what you do not cover is the litany of failures of Kamala Harris. That's what you're not covering, George.
So questioning somebody's racial identity for a couple minutes is OK?
George, I'm going to tell you again, he brought it up. AP is the one that wrote the headline when she first came in to the United States Senate. Didn't talk about her being black. Talked about her being the first Indian American senator. AP brought that up. I mean, George, we could have this conversation for the entire segment, but none of this matters to the American people. What matters to the American people is, are we going to have the same policies of the Biden-Harris administration that has been destructive of the American people, or are we going to have the policies of the Trump administration, which put America first, had low inflation, prosperous Americans, no matter your race.
Let me jump in here for just a second. There's another piece here that I'd like to point out to Byron Donalds, and it goes back to 2019. And it's a Politico piece, actually, from 2019 when she was running in the Democrat primary. Because you know who started all this? Democrats started all this. This is the piece back then, Why Kamala Harris is Glad People Are Asking If She's Black Enough. All right? This is Politico reporting this back in 2019. California Democrat, whose presidential campaign is closely monitoring questions around her candidacy, shared among African-Americans and young people a question she's been happy to answer. And it goes on because her decision to sit for an extended radio interview with black hosts at the outset of her run is part of a broader strategy for the half-Jamaican, half-Indian former prosecutor. It's designed to give her the chance to directly confront the uncomfortable and offensive internet memes about her personal life before they can metastasize among voters. That's what three advisors to Harris said back then to Politico. In recent days, Harris has parried skepticism over everything from claims to her black heritage to her decision to marry a white man, bluntly putting down markers on nuanced topics to help inoculate her from false critiques with answers that also illuminate how she views her own identity. So the whole article goes on to talk about how there's a lot of skepticism among voters out there, which led her to sit down on a show called The Breakfast Club with Charlamagne the God. So she sat down with Charlamagne the God back in February of 2019. The radio show's host, DJ Envy, and Charlamagne the God are both black. She answered doubts about her African-American heritage because her father emigrated from Jamaica and her mother came from India, and because Harris spent time in Canada as a student. Harris recounted how she was born in Oakland, raised in California. Aside from the time she went to high school in Montreal, she compared the treatment to persistent questions asked of Barack Obama and his surrogates, including Harris herself, while he was a candidate in 2007 and 2008. She said, quote, look, this is the same thing they did to Barack. This is not new to us. And I think that we know what they're trying to do. They are trying to do what has been happening over the last 2 years, which is powerful voices trying to sow hate and division among us. And so we need to recognize when we're being played. But the host asks how she responds to questions about the legitimacy of your blackness. I want to point out to you, this is part of the Democrat primary. She was not a general election candidate. She wasn't even close to being the Democrat nominee yet. This was 2019. She would not even take the debate stage and skewer Joe Biden, which, by the way, I think was done also deliberately to show her bona fides. But that was a year before that would even happen. So among the Democrats back then were all the people that were going on and saying, she's not really black. It was the Democrats who were doing that. You want to push back on this? Push back on, say, where did this all start? It didn't start with Trump on a question with the black journalist. It started with Democrats in the primary for president. They started the whisper campaign. And then she had to go out there and address all these things. And she had to say all these things because they were going on and saying she's not really black, you know, and she's telling people she's black and she's lying to people and she's trying to get the black vote. So she goes on the show and she says, I think they don't understand who black people are. She goes on and she goes on. She says all these things. She says, I'm black and I'm proud of it. I was born black and I'll die black and I'm proud of it. Why do you think she had to say all these things in 2019? Republicans weren't saying these things about Kamala Harris in 2019. Why would Republicans be questioning whether Kamala Harris is black enough in a Democrat primary a year before the primary? They wouldn't. The answer is they wouldn't. This all started with Democrats. This was something that emerged within the Democrat primary process. And they were doing this because, and again, this was also part of the Democrat machine was working to try to stop her early on. And she says, you know, Harris's effort to get ahead of the memes is informed in part by Hillary Clinton's general refusal to engage with the darker parts of the web, something that worked to Trump's advantage. And it comes with the experience of having watched Obama early on in his first campaign, mostly refuse to entertain deeper examinations of his race. Harris seldom faced such scrutiny while climbing the ranks in California, but social media slings and arrows have been coming hard at her since she first surfaced on the national scene as a potential presidential candidate. Much of the earlier criticism focused on whether Harris, whose lack of a record on key issues at the time provided an opening, and whether or not she was sufficiently progressive. In more recent months, she's been heavily scrutinized for her decades in law enforcement in the context of Black Lives Matter. So let me tell you exactly what happened back then. Back then, they came out and said, Kamala Harris isn't really black. And as the Black Lives Matter movement was gaining steam, and this is before George Floyd was even killed. This is long before that. This is the winter of 2019, okay? But to try to stop her, Democrats are out there going, you know, she's part of the problem, right? She's part of the problem of the systemic racism and mass incarceration. And part of the reason for that is because she isn't really black and she's putting black people away. That's what the Democrat whisper campaign about Kamala Harris was back then. And so she had to go address it, not because of Republicans. The only thing Republicans were thinking in 2019 at the time was whether or not Donald Trump was going to have to deal with any primaries, whether or not Donald Trump was going to have to worry about any never Trumper running against him. That would be a pain in the neck. So what the Republicans were doing back then was just locking down the primary. That's all they were doing and figuring the Democrats would fight it amongst themselves. But if you had actually asked Republicans back then, who do you fear? It was not going to be Kamala Harris. No. But what happened is that Democrats doing their opposition research, to try to stop her candidacy, came out with an attack point for her. And I'll quote you from the Politico piece. Again, this is 2019. Harris has used the stops, this is stop and frisk, to raise broader discussions of her agenda for African Americans. When asked, the senator said she's in favor of some form of reparations. We've got to recognize, back to the earlier point, people aren't starting out on the same basis in terms of their ability to succeed. So we have got to recognize and give people a lift up. Basil Smikely, a Democratic strategist who worked for Clinton and served as the executive director of the—
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The New York Democratic Party said Harris is right to want to get ahead of various concerns because she'll need the support of the African-American community, and in particular, African-American men who are disproportionately affected by harsh laws. Quote, if she's associated with that level of harshness... It will hurt her at a time when criminal justice reform is on the top of the agenda for African Americans broadly. And in an environment where African American women have emerged as one of the strongest forces behind the Democratic Party, Harris is going to have to be able to glide in and out of the communities and make a case that will motivate them to vote for her. Quote, the community is not monolithic, so I think evaluations of her blackness are not appropriate. But at the same time, she has to articulate an agenda community to a community across the country. This is the Democrat primary in February of 2019 when they wrote this article. That starts with shooting down falsehoods. On the Breakfast Club program, Harris was asked about a meme saying she broke the state record for incarcerating black men. That's just not true, she said. Did Harris lock anyone up in her truancy program, she was asked? No, she said. contending that the intention of her initiative was to put a spotlight on the issue of children missing school, even if it meant she would be viewed as the bad guy. There's going to be all kinds of allegations being made, and I invite, not only invite, I encourage folks to look at the real record. Other attacks she's being asked about are deeply personal, including from those who question why she married a white man. Who's questioning that in the Democrat primary? You know what it is? This is very, very emblematic of exactly the clip I played you earlier from Morning Joe this morning with Jonathan Greenblatt talking about those people criticizing Josh Shapiro for being Jewish. Who are those people? Democrats. Who were the people doing this to Kamala Harris back then? Democrats. So you see now what the real answer to give to the unbiased journalist is George Stephanopoulos to say, hey, George, who started this? Your party did, George. Your party started this when they tried to derail her candidacy back in 2019, forcing Kamala Harris to have to go out there and prove her black bona fides. Then answer for the fact of why she married a white guy. And this is what she said at the time. She said, look, I love my husband, and he happened to be the one I chose to marry because I love him, and he loves me. That was asked during the Breakfast Club interview, why'd you marry a white man? Why do you think that question was asked? Because Kamala Harris, the whisper campaign was, she isn't really black, you know. And who was whispering that? Other Democrats who were trying to take her down as being fake black and going after black people as attorney general. And so fake black, she married a white guy. At another point, the host asked the Howard University graduate and daughter of civil rights activists why people say she's pandering to black people. She said, they don't know me. Again, this is Politico from 2019, written by Christopher Caldelago, February 12th, 2019 at 7:27 p.m. Eastern. It was updated on February 20th, 2019 at 7:28 p.m. Eastern. I don't know what kind of an update would have happened in the course of 1 minute. I feel like you could have just rounded up to 7:28 and saved us all a whole lot of time. But nevertheless, the original story was published at 7:27 and a minute later, he updated it. Great. I can imagine it was very impactful. But this is the story, Politico, why Kamala Harris is glad people are asking if she's black enough. And just to show you the ramifications of this and how serious this effort was back then by her fellow Democrats to try to tell everybody that she was fake black, I'll play you this clip. Over the weekend, Michael Smirkanish on CNN plays a clip from some black men who were asked about Kamala Harris and whether or not she's really black. And then he goes on to lecture why those guys are all low information voters. All right, take a listen.
Is Kamala going to make you a little more likely or less likely to vote Democrat?
Well, hold on, Ray. Is Kamala black? Yes or no?
I'm going to let her speak on that. But to me, no.
Oh, is Kamala black? Yes or no?
I share that same view.
Wow. Is Kamala black? Yes or no?
I heard she was. I heard she's half black and half Asian.
When I played that audio on my SiriusXM radio program on Thursday, many callers who self-identified as African-American were quick to tell me that those men were the exception, not the rule. Some describe them as low information voters, no different than you'd find among whites.
Well, thank you for white-splaining to us, Michael Smirkanish, or white-splaining to them. But those gentlemen in that were asked their honest opinion. They're black guys, and they're like, I don't think so. And part of the reason why is because they're probably Democrat voters, and they were exposed to a year of Kamala Harris being labeled as being a phony by her fellow Democrats in the course of that primary. Charlamagne the God Show wasn't the only show she went on to try to prove her that she was actually really black. Who did this? Who set the narrative? Who created this? The Democrat Party did. Her fellow Democrats did. Part of the reason why she savaged Joe Biden in that debate stage that day, saying, Joe, I was that little girl on that school bus and went after Joe Biden for being a racist, for opposing the school busing in Wilmington, when the time when Joe Biden said it was going to turn into an urban jungle. Remember that? She did that to prove her bona fides. And also because at the time it was realized by probably Kamala Harris's people that many of the whisper campaigns were being led by Joe Biden, who presumed he'd be the front runner in that race. And he had to deal with this pesky California Democrat who's nipping at his heels all the time. So they went out there and said, you know, don't fall for this. And it wasn't until Representative James Clyburn of South Carolina interceded and said, you need to pick Kamala Harris to be your running mate and I'll back you, that then suddenly the Democrat Party all did their little shuffle. All is forgiven. Kamala Harris joined the ticket. Clyburn backed Joe Biden. First woman, black vice president, blah, blah, blah. Joe Biden promised in exchange for that he would also appoint a black woman to the United States Supreme Court. This all started in the Democrat primary for president. This is not something that Donald Trump conjured up in his mind. That's actually what Republicans need to start pushing back. That's what they need to start saying. They need to cite this article from 2019. Why Kamala Harris is glad people are asking if she's black enough. And the only people asking back then were Democrats. Nobody else had even thought about Kamala Harris as actually a potential presidential candidate. Her candidacy was had no momentum in February of 2019. It was other Democrats who were out there saying that, using that to say, you know, at a time when Black Lives Matter, this fake black was the attorney general putting black men in prison. That's what happened. That's the fact. That's the record. That's how it all went down back then. And it's how it played out back then. And just like how today on MSNBC, you know, those people who are calling out Josh Shapiro for being Jewish and they won't say who it is, they're Democrats. Democrats are doing that, trying to stop Josh Shapiro from being selected as Kamala Harris's VP because the guy's Jewish. Because you have such an undercurrent of hatred for Jews within the Democrat Party right now. So I'm just going to refresh your memory. I'm going to replay that clip from Jonathan Greenblatt and Joe Scarborough from Morning Joe. Notice how they don't say who they're talking about. You know, and I know exactly what they mean. They mean Democrat voters. They mean Democrat operatives. They mean other Democrat elected officials who are telling Kamala Harris, don't pick Josh Shapiro because he's a Jew and because of Israel. And they won't say who the people are because they want their votes. But you know damn well if it was Republicans doing this, they would absolutely 100% be calling these people out. Just like in the article back then, if you notice in the political article, and I share with you the entire article, there's not one single reference to Donald Trump or any other Republican calling out Kamala Harris, whether or not she's black enough. Not one, because it was an entire campaign done by her Democrat primary opponents in the lead up to the 2020 election. And so far removed from the Democrat primary, it was a year to go. We didn't even have COVID back then. This is February of 2019. It would be a year until Kamala Harris would skewer Joe Biden on the debate stage. They were trying to end her candidacy quickly and early by calling her out as a phony and by saying she's the reason for the incarceration rates among black men in California. They did that. And George Stephanopoulos is not going to acknowledge it, obviously. The unbiased journalist is not going to acknowledge that. Much like how, once again, Republicans are always put on the defensive with these things. But here's Jonathan Greenblatt and Joe Scarborough proving my point that it's Democrats who have a problem with Josh Shapiro being Jewish because they won't say who it is. Take a listen.
For some reason, you have, and you can walk through that door that I just opened up. Yeah. And for some reason, Josh Shapiro is offensive to people who think he's too close to Israel. Well, because let's just say it right here. He's a Jew.
Yeah. He's a Jew. He's a Jew who lights Shabbat candles every Friday night. He's a Jew who went to day school. He's a Jew who's proud to be who he is, as he should be, because this is America. But you're right to point it out. You really put your finger on it, Joe. The idea that this guy who has a stronger position criticizing Bibi Netanyahu, there may be Bernie Sanders, somehow is unpalatable to these people. It is rank anti-Semitism. And
by
let's
who?
Just put this in context.
By
Joe.
Who?
The Jewish people are dealing with the most historic rise that we've seen in decades and decades. The numbers are up, as we've talked about on your show many times, nearly 900% in the last 10 years. And we've seen anti-Semitism normalized. I saw a commentator this weekend on another network. When asked about Josh Shapiro, her first response was, well, he'll have to answer for the suffering of the people in Palestine. I mean, what?
Who's that person?
Because he's Jewish, what? He has to answer for that? Look, the reality is the vice president, Kamala Harris, is going to make her decision on the basis of his bipartisan appeal, his political charisma, the electoral votes. as Steve was pointing out in the last segment, there are a bunch of different reasons why, and there's a lot of very good candidates. But for groups like the DSA, who are not even Democrats, or uncommitted, who say they would rather see Trump get elected, to launch this ad hominem attack campaign against Josh Shapiro is despicable. Look, I run an NGO, we're a tax exempt. I'm not endorsing anybody here, but I'll call this what it is. It's anti-Semitic and it's wrong.
By who?
And I hope the vice president has the courage, as I believe she does, to do what she thinks is right, not what fringe activists are telling her.
So the DSA, just in case you're curious, since they don't want to say it, are the Democrat Socialists of America. You notice how he doesn't say that? He says the DSA, who aren't even Democrats. No, dude, they're the Democratic Socialists of America. And yeah, the DSA is actively working to try to stop Josh Shapiro because he's Jewish. Just like they have the StopGenocideJosh.org website. Again, who are these people doing this? Democrats. Who are the people that started the whisper campaigns, Kamala Harris isn't really black? Democrats. These are all people who don't get any accountability, none whatsoever, for what they do. And then Republicans are left to clean up the mess somehow because they don't know how to fight back. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli if you'd like to weigh in. All right, we got a lot more to cover here, including how Josh Shapiro has a very unhealthy obsession with Barack Obama. Speaking of Barack Obama. But I do want to tell you, as the show progresses, we love the beach, we love the summer, but fall is right around the corner, and we'll be back for our first live show of the fall at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. You know, Cape May is beautiful in the fall. The weather is great. The crowds are gone, and you should book your stay at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey for a September to remember. You know, the Grand Hotel offers special midweek packages, so you can enjoy the beach without breaking the bank. Stay two nights and save 10%. Save three nights and get 10% off and $55 a night in resort credits. Stay five nights, get 10% off and $65 a night in resort credits that can be used at Hemingway's for food and drink, the gift shop, and so much more. The Grand offers guest rooms, suites, and townhomes equipped with a kitchenette, and they have two huge heated pools, one outdoor and one indoor. I'm telling you, the Grand is my happy place for a reason. You're going to love it there. And if you're thinking about doing a nice fall event, beachfront wedding, baby shower, corporate event, my friend Caitlin will help you plan the most amazing event. Just reach out to her today, 800-257-8550, or visit them online at GrandHotelCapeMay.com. You'll love the savings in September. You'll love the fact that it's a lot quieter, but the weather is still absolutely beautiful. You'll love the heated indoor pool. You'll love the heated outdoor pool. So visit them today and mark your calendar for our first live show of the fall, Friday, September 6th, in my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Zeoli from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter, on Talk Radio 1210 and the free Odyssey app.
DeSantis, executive producer, two things we have to discuss. Keep your finger by the dump button. I'll read the headline. Public Jeffrey Toobening soars in New York City with sickos pleasuring and exposing themselves in the open, up 51%. See what I did there?
That was very clean. I'm proud of you.
We're going to call it Toobening-ing, which is Jeffrey Toobening. Public Toobening Sora's in New York City. You know, they say like how borking is now an actual verb, like because how Robert Bork Sr. was borked by Ted Kennedy.
Yes. Yeah.
So this is tubining. Public tubining soars in New York City with sickos pleasuring and exposing themselves in the open is up 51%. A nauseating development critics have chalked up to lax laws and a broken mental health system. Reports of pervs fondling themselves out in the open soared 51% through June 30th, up to 378 complaints from 251 during the same period in 2023. And doesn't Tubin live in New York City? Out of curiosity.
I thought he was a Boston guy.
Maybe he's visiting. I don't know if he's one of the people. Probably not. But cops have issued 159 criminal summonses through June 30th citywide to New Yorkers whipping out. He whipped it out. Whipped it out. Quote Elaine from Seinfeld. Sometimes to relieve themselves. You know, I mean, they could get uromycetosis and die. A staggering 396% increase from the 32 tickets written in 2023. People are just, and they got a picture in the article of one dude just laying on the sidewalk, just king of his castle, master of his domain. You know what I mean?
They don't do a very good job of blurring out some of the images in this article, by the way.
No, there's one dude sitting there using his body like an amusement park, if you know what I mean. Greenwich Village resident Brian Maloney told the New York Post, there's too much junk I don't want to see. Junk. I think he literally means junk, as in man junk. 3 weeks ago, a long-haired naked man fondled himself while sitting in a chair outside the Washington Square Diner in the pouring rain. Well, I mean, listen, it's raining. You're sitting outside. What else are you going to do, right? Days later, a woman in his subway car decided to parade in front of commuters in her birthday suit. We're exhausted by it, the guy said. We're trying for help. We're pleading with our elected officials to help and basically getting ignored. And there's one dude just sitting there, buck naked, at a table outside a diner, just... You know what I mean?
He's waiting for his food.
Figures, well, I'm here, waiting for my food, might as well... Oh, got to play with something. I got to pass the time. Okay. At a July meeting for Manhattan's Community Board, which covers the Financial District in Tribeca, residents rage over cops' failure to respond to their complaints about a grime-covered serial tubiner with a Marine Corps tattoo on his back. Captain Joel Rosenthal, commanding officer of the 1st Precinct, warned the outraged locals that even if the police busted him in the act, he would likely be cut loose in no time. And that, of course, is the problem. There is a desk appearance ticket and a non-bail eligible offense, so he'll be out within 2 hours. By the way, 2 hours is plenty of time for him to reload and recharge. Am I right? Just a very sad state of affairs, if you ask me. The push against incarceration, together with the city's inability to hospitalize and effectively treat the severely mentally ill, has driven the surge in disturbing deviancy, according to Caroline Gorman, a mental illness policy analyst at the Manhattan Institute. If we don't enforce laws so individuals aren't in jails or prisons and they're not receiving psychiatric treatment, because the mental health system deprioritizes the mentally ill, these people are out on the street. And they are whipping it out. I added the last part to her point, but you know what I mean. And they are losing the contest. Now, I know the world's on the brink of World War III, and I know that the markets had a bad day today and all that, but we really got to talk about how Robert F. Kennedy Jr. posed with a dead bear cub before dumping it in Central Park. This is the other strangest story of the day today. Would you rather have Kennedy throwing a dead bear cub's head in a park, or that dude buck naked outside? Yeah, I think I know the answer. Never mind.
I'll just roll with the bear cub, I think.
Yeah, you got to go bear cub, right? You got to go with that. There's audio of this, too, is there not?
Yeah, I have it. It's him telling the story. He's trying to get out in front of it before. I guess it was the New Yorker that had the story and was about to publish it.
Of why Robert F. Kennedy Jr. had a dead bear cub's body and posed with it and then dumped it in Central Park. All right, let's take a listen.
I was taking a group of people stalking and up in Goshen, New York, up in the Hudson Valley. And I was supposed to meet them there at like maybe 8 or 9. I was driving up maybe, you know, really early, like 7. And that woman in a van in front of me hit a bear and killed it, a young bear. So I pulled over and I picked up the bear and put him in the back of my van because I was going to skin the bear. And it was very good condition, and I was going to and put the meat in my refrigerator. And you can do that in New York State. You can get a bear tag for a roadkill bear. And so then we went hawking, and I had the bear in my car. And then we had a really good day, and we went late. We were catching a lot of game, and the people really loved it, so we stayed late. And instead of going back to my home in Westchester, I had to go right to the city because there was a dinner at Peter Luger's Steakhouse. And at the end of the dinner, it went late, and I realized I couldn't go home. I had to go to the airport. And the bear was in my car, and I didn't want to leave the bear in the car.
He should have brought it to Peter Luger's and see if they could turn it into a bear steak for him, right? I mean, that's what people do. Usually they bring it in and, you know, you turn this into some venison for me. I bet you Luger's could have made a nice bear steak for him.
Great steak.
Great, great, great burgers, too, by the way.
Do you want to hear the rest of this nonsense?
I guess. I don't know. It's such a depressing day. We might as well hear about a dead bear.
It's like a minute left.
Why not?
Because that would have been bad. So then I thought, you know, at that time, this was the little bit of the redneck in me. There'd been a series of bicycle accidents in New York. They had just put in the bike lanes. And saw people, a couple of people got killed, and it was every day, and people had gotten badly injured. Every day it was in the press. Yeah. And so I thought, I wasn't drinking, of course, but people were drinking with me who thought this was a good idea. And I said, I had an old bike in my car that somebody had asked me to get rid of it. I said, let's go put the bear in Central Park and we'll make it look like he got hit by a bike. Fun, funny for people. So everybody thought, that's a great idea. So we went and did that, and we thought it would be amusing for whoever found it or something. The next day, it was like, it was on every television station. It was the front page of every paper. And I turned on the TV, and there was like a mile of yellow tape, and there were 20 cop cars. There were helicopters flying over it. And I was like, oh my God. What did I do? There were some people on TV in Tyvek suits with gloves on lifting up the bike, and they're saying they're going to take this up to Albany to get a fingerprint. I was worried because my prints were all over that bike.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know. What it says about America that to lighten the mood, I play a story of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. throwing a dead bear cub into the wood. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is an indictment on the news cycle. Like, I got to lighten things up. Tell the story of the time he threw a dead bear carcass into the park. Give people some joy on the ride home. You know what I mean? Or let's talk about public tubing. I think this is the state of the news cycle that we're in. It's really an indictment on that more than anything. I'm like, things are too serious. What can I do? What's a nice light story? Oh, how about the time RFK Jr. dumped a dead baby bear in the woods in Central Park? Sounds great. Give people a chuckle on the ride home. Am I right? Huh?
That is true. Our lighter stories today are really, really depressing.
Yeah, they're depressing and dark. And you know what I mean? It's because the standards when he does my show prep, he'll put light, you know, next to it. So I know that it's a light story. And it just depends on the day, you know, what kind of light stories we get to. And some days we don't ever have a chance to get to them at all. But the major topics today are world economic depression, World War III. So I'm like, all right, well, then let's go to the light news story category. And it's like, RFK Jr. throws dead bear corpse into the woods. Public tubing incidents up 51%. Like, oh, these are wonderfully uplifting, warm and fuzzy. Kids, gather round.
It's all I had. It's all I had. I didn't have much to work with.
Let Uncle Richie spread some joy for you on your ride home from school. Yeah. But I do have this guy with President Trump today. So this influencer, I'd never heard of the guy, but then I don't hear of anybody. I don't know. I don't know anything. There's who is this guy that Trump sat down with? Him, millions of views, Matt. Who is, you know this guy?
Yeah.
Aiden Ross?
Aiden Ross. I'm not familiar with him. I'd never heard of him before.
Aiden Ross, I mean, this guy, he did this interview with Trump today, millions of views. This could be he showed Donald Trump a photo of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. And this is how the exchange went down here, so you can listen to it. This is unedited, and Matt DeSantis was not there producing the interview, so he wasn't there to put in any sort of, you know, disclaimers or anything like that, I guess is my point. So this is just the raw and edited version. There you go.
He's turned very liberal, actually. They say he's the son of Fidel Castro and could be. I mean, anything's possible in this world, you know?
Allegedly, Mr. President, please, you have to say allegedly instead of could be. So let's try that again one more time, and I'll help the former president out. This is why he really needs me, part of his inner circle again. But anyway, go ahead.
He's turned very liberal, actually. They say he's the son of Fidel Castro.
Allegedly.
And could be.
Allegedly.
Anything's possible in this world, you know?
Yeah, right. True. Well, see, that's how you do it perfectly, just like that. Nailed it. Because his mom played Naked Twister with Fidel. That's what they say. And he looks nothing like his quote-unquote father. Pierre.
He does not look like Pierre Trudeau, I'll give you that. But it is the official stance of the Rich Zeoli show that Justin Trudeau is the son of Pierre Trudeau.
Allegedly. Right, Mr. President? Oh, and then we have a clip about Trudeau here. So who is this now? This is Kevin O'Leary. Warns that Kamala Harris is America's Justin Trudeau. Is she implying that she is the biological love daughter of Fidel Castro? Is that his? Is that what he's implying? I haven't heard the interview yet. Is he implying that maybe Justin?
He's got a sister.
Yeah, Justin's got a sister. I mean, because Fidel might have, you know, the Indian mother. Is that anyway? Like I said, I haven't heard this, but boy, that would be a plot twist. Am I right? Cut 11.
Consequential. They get no media. She got none till 12 days ago. Now she's the it kid. However, right, there's an example of an it kid a few years ago up in Canada, that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Nobody looked at his background. Nobody looked at his policies. He was the it kid. That country is on its knees. He wiped it out. He had no executional skills. So are Americans going to basically hire or, you know, basically bring a president that's another Justin Trudeau? I hope not.
What did he say about her mother? Being on her... Stop. Inside voice. Stop it.
We don't believe that Justin Trudeau...
I'm literally biting my tongue right now, so I don't speak. So the country is on its knees, not...
Oh, I didn't. I thought. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I'm just. This whole segment.
Catch that.
This whole segment is our Marconi submission right here. Is what it is.
Is it too late to hit the dump button and just wipe everything out?
Just the entire half hour.
Yeah.
I said it was our happy hour.
It's not that happy.
And I've given you nothing but joyful stories.
They were our most joyful stories. In fairness, they just weren't that joyful.
I'll tell you what I learned today about, old man Dudley says, grin and bear it with a Kennedy, no drowned interns or plane crashes involved. You know, to his point, that's true. I mean, as far as Kennedy deaths go, like a dead bear is nothing in that family. You know what I mean? That's nothing. That's like the least. So my iPhone was not properly charging, and I went to the Apple store today, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And I didn't know if the guy, the Genius Bar, was going to have to like send it in for repair and I lose my phone or something. You know, little little slot at the bottom where you plug in the cable, the lightning cable.
Yeah.
Guy goes, well, the good news is there's no physical damage, but there's a ton of, and he starts pulling out lint like it's a belly button.
Ew.
Lint. Just starts pulling it out, uses this tool, like a little screwdriver, and just starts pulling lint out. And there was a ton of it. There must have been, I don't know, a good inch of lint sitting there. It was disgusting. I know. And I said to him, I said, look, I went on YouTube to try to figure this out. And they said all the things I should do. He said, no, no, no. Because you just got to get this little tool, but it's got to be magnetic safe or something or other and this sort of thing. Whatever. And he just pulls out all the belly button lint right out of the phone.
How much lint do you have in your pockets?
And it works great. I guess a lot.
Well, now it's all in your phone.
I never thought about it before. And he's tapping the thing just like this and lint's just coming out. You know what I mean? So anyway, my gift to you, my pro tip is if you're having charging issues with your phone, it's possible that there's a bunch of lint stuck up in that little hole.
I mean, I'm not an Apple genius or anything, but I think you're going to have more problems with your phone if you keep smacking it against the desk like that. I don't think that's helping.
That may not help. And yet, that's literally what he was doing. He was like, boom, boom, out, lint, get out.
He wasn't slamming it that hard on a marble countertop.
No, that's true. Oh, this is fake marble. Well, you think Odyssey would spring for real marble?
No,
please.
If
it was real marble, they already would have sold it on eBay. Come on, stop it. Please, give me a break. As we head into the fourth and final hour, thank God, I just want to play this clip again for you. David Axelrod says Harris's momentum is leaning heavily on irrational exuberance. Now, I'm going to get into Josh Shapiro in the next hour. We have a little side-by-side comparison for you of just how much the Pennsylvania governor wants to be Barack Obama, even to the point of he named his dog after Obama's dog. I'm kidding. I kid you not. It's creepy. It's a little bit obsessive. I thought he was stalking Kamala, but it turns out I may have had the wrong stalking victim, if you know what I mean. I'll get into that with you. But here's what Axelrod said to our friend Jessica Dean, formerly of CBS3, right here in Philadelphia, on CNN Cut 15.
Yeah, and look, she has a lot of momentum, but if you do look at the polling, this is still a really tight race. This is going to be a hard fight for either side, based on the numbers we're seeing right now.
100%. Look, I mean, anyone, you know, there's a lot of irrational exuberance on the side of, on the Democratic side of the aisle right now, because there was despair for some period of time about what the November was going to look like. Now people feel like there's a chance. But it is absolutely Trump's race to lose right now. He is ahead, and he is ahead most of the battleground states. They're close. They could be won by either candidate. But there is a lot to be determined in the next 96 or whatever it is left. I think it's a wide open race. But Trump has the advantage right now, and everybody should be sober about that on the Democratic side.
Indeed, they should. And that is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariA, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. So in our fourth and final hour, I'll get into Josh Shapiro's chances a little bit with you. As news reports say, it's come down to the final two, Josh Shapiro and somebody else. Do I believe those stories or not? We'll have that conversation. Plus, Donald Trump at his rally goes on the attack against Kamala Harris. Good, he should. But stick to the policy positions, right? Absolutely, you bet. Don't go away.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.